The following podcast has been paid for by the IWC.
Fuck you and you and you. I hate your friends and they hate me too. I'm through, I'm through, I'm through. This that hot girl by my anthem, turn it up and throw a tantrum.
And we're back!
What?
I like watching the audio spike when I yell and we're back.
Yeah. It is always good.
It's a simple joy.
It's a little things. It's a little things.
Well, hey, computer's experiencing high usage.
It is.
Anytime I use the fucking thing, it is a piece of garbage.
Yes.
But it keeps the podcast alive. Not that we couldn't just record on my phone if that was what we had
if
to do.
If all else failed, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we want to...
I'm try and
we want to bring quality.
Yes.
I'm going to have to move this a little bit closer.
Oh, nope. Go for it. I just have it on there just so we have a viewer on there. That's all, really.
There you go.
It's fine.
That works. It works, everybody. Turn this bitch off.
Yep.
Boom.
Boom.
All right. Y'all.
Y'all. Peeps.
Uh-oh. Okay, we froze. We're good.
We're good.
Boom, here, switch over to this scene here now.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, AEW Revolution was Saturday, sometime this last few days. It was great.
Yeah, it was. It was phenomenal.
Really, really fucking good. I forgot.
Worth every penny.
This on this. There we go. A boom, a diggity. So, yeah, man, the show did not disappoint in the slightest, even though... Notice right here, it shows Riho with the belt that she was not only not on the show, she is not the champion.
No, she was not.
So, despite that little transgression, great show. Great fucking
show. It really was. Build. I mean, it was just worth every penny. I was going to say the 50 bucks.
50 bucks spent, although I, for some reason, can't go back and rewatch it. Don't understand that.
We'll have to work. You look at the app. I'll come back and look at it tonight, and we'll get on that for sure.
All right. So we're looking at the Bleacher Report review for an outline. Just want to give them credit for that. And so the buy-in, SCU versus the Dark Order, the match was probably I don't want to say worst match of the night, but the one that did the least for me up until the end.
Yeah. I have to agree with you.
So... We had the match going on and everything, and before the match, Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian told Christopher Daniels, stay in the back. Because, you know, all of the Dark Order
shenanigans
going on. No Raven in the crowd this time.
Oh, man.
So, the match happens. Grayson rolls up Scorpio Sky for the win. You can go back and watch that if you really want to know what happened in the match.
Yeah.
But, after the match, the Dark Order pounded away at SCU until Chicago's own Colt Cabana hits the ring and makes his AEW debut. He has officially signed.
Ah, yes.
I'm stoked about it. I love Boom Boom. Then all of a sudden, the Dark Order's music plays, and the Exalted One appears, cloaked out. I kind of got to say, for a second, I had visions of Vince McMahon. Going, it's me, Austin! It was me all along! But,
The higher power.
The Howard power.
The Howard power.
As The Undertaker said on live television.
Yeah.
The Howard power.
The Howard power.
Anyway, Dark Order's music plays, Exalted One appears... And boom, it's Christopher Daniels who takes off the cloak and attacks the Dark Order. The baby faces stood tall at the end of the segment, as it says here. Yeah, I gotta kind of agree with the C+. It wasn't bad. It wasn't exciting.
I was gonna say, it kept me interested, but it wasn't like, you know, it just wasn't the highlight for me, definitely.
No. The Howard Power. Jake's watching. Hello, Jake, Mom.
Hello, Jake.
Okay. Now. What's going on? Why are you being like this?
It's being like that because it hates us.
Okay, next we have Dustin Rhodes and Jake Hager.
Opening.
I think Darby and Sammy Guevara should open the show, personally.
I can agree with that placement. I didn't mind this opening the show, to be honest. I was interested in the match because I just thought it was going to be good, classic, you know. I mean, for all those WWE fans out there that, you know, like WWE's consistent stuff, I mean, this was fairly like what you would see on a Monday Night Raw or maybe like a B pay-per-view. Like, it was good match, and it was a good story they told. It gave Hager the, you know, the win he needs, his first match. Like, it did it checked all the boxes it needed to check, and I thought it was good.
What did you think of the finish?
That caught me by surprise, but maybe that was that was the whole point.
What'd you think of the babyface me-tooing the heel's girlfriend?
Oh, man, I laughed at how people were, like, freaking out about that.
Jake Hager, when he comes down to the ring, they make a point of having him, like, fucking... hold on, shut up. They had him come down to the ring and lay a big, long, wet smooch on his fucking wife or his girlfriend, whoever she was. So later in the match, Dustin Rhodes goes over and does the same thing.
It definitely doesn't sit like... I mean, I defended it only because I'm like, it's nothing we haven't seen on a wrestling
show. It's a wrestling show, yes. Okay, so, you know, you're gonna push the boundaries. But why is the babyface doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I see that argument as well. Like, I definitely thought it kind of seemed a little out of place. But at the same time, I mean, the man broke his arm, so...
It's personal.
You can draw that conclusion, I guess, there. I mean, it's definitely not something that needs to be done all the time.
Right. So the finish is basically Dustin Rhodes being put to sleep. I don't know which submission that was.
It was Hager's
basic. It was what he does in his MMA fights.
Yeah,
they tried to have it be like a shoot ending.
Yeah, that's the way it came off, anyways. I mean,
so Dustin Rhodes kind of passes out. Aubrey Edwards calls for the bell. It was all right. I don't know if it needed to be. I think it was like 20 minutes.
It did seem a little bit longer than it needed to be. I'll kind of agree on that.
Yeah, so.
But, like I said, as an opening match and with the story that they've been telling, I felt it did a good job, you know?
I agree, sir. I agree. So, we'll see where that goes. I don't know if that particular rivalry is going to be over or not. I feel like...
I don't know if they'll AEW get is going to go
for a long burn type, or you know, the short slow, not the short, the long slow burn when it comes to these things.
True, and I definitely don't, but I don't know if this will get another pay per view spot. I think they might blow this feud off on Dynamite.
That's fine, but I mean,
which, you know, hey, I'm fine with. Again, not every feud needs to be blown off at the pay per view. I mean, it just doesn't.
All right, now what I thought when it ended was going to be match of the night. We'll get to what I thought was match of the night. But just from the onset, Sammy comes out first, and he's on the outside, as you do, waiting for your opponent so he can have the ring on his entrance. Darby just sort of got in the ring, set down his skateboard, and without even taking off his jacket, I don't think, he just fucking
went for him.
And they fucking... Like, it was so fast-paced before the actual match started. It was just boom, 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 boom.
That 6:30 through the table.
Jesus.
That was nuts. Sammy Guevara is fucking insane.
Darby, too, man. Darby's...
Darby.
Oh, yeah. Darby's a fucking star.
Oh, man. The crowd was into him, too. The crowd was into him. They were into the whole match.
All the crowds are into him right now.
This is true.
He is the first star that they have made.
Oh, yeah, especially babyface, like, does some tweener type things. Like, yeah, he's definitely. And what's good about him, on the also on the flip side with Sammy Guevara, is they're building their own homegrown heel too. Like, he's a he's going to be.
Oh yeah, those two are the future of the company, along with MJF and Hangman Page.
Oh,
I mean, all
yeah.
these guys are under 25.
Yeah, there's just four guys they can build their company around, and they're doing. I mean, they're doing, and each one's in a cohesive, detailed storyline that has, you know, has some story with it. And even this was put together pretty, I would say, rushed out of most of the matches on the card. This was the most rushed of the two, next to one other one, but it still was really good. It even surprised me a little bit at how good it was. I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but it was really good.
Yeah, I love how fast paced these two guys work, and I love just.
They could put this on
the aerial assault by both people, that fucking flipping stunner, the way Sammy sold it.
That's so good.
I mean, Sammy sells that stunner like he's the fucking Rock from Stone Cold.
Dude, when he ate that super kick from Matt Jackson, Jesus. You can go play, yes. Get a jacket on.
Shut the door, please. Thank you, Gwen.
That would be my daughter.
It happens sometimes.
We
don't film in a studio, obviously. This is where I sleep.
Yes.
I want to say that fucking... The distance that he got on that coffin drop...
Oh, yeah!
I mean, that was like coast-to-coast backwards.
Yeah.
The Van Terminator backwards.
Man, and they even talked about it on commentary, just the distance. It was just... And it was perfect because he hit, like, right at the shoulder, neck, like, right... Like, almost... It was just... It was right there.
It was a fun, fast-paced match, and I can't wait to see these guys work together as time goes on.
I wouldn't even mind seeing them at Double or Nothing again. If they want to put them on a pay-per-view again, I'm fine with that. Put them in, like, a Street Fight or some crazy shit like that.
A ladder match with them or something like
that. Oh, God. Those two with the ladder would be crazy.
But there's not... I mean, at this point, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a mid-card title. Not for a while.
Yeah, I don't think they're in a big hurry for that one yet.
But, I mean, you're laying your foundation and your groundwork right now. So, I mean, you got to build from the bottom up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, they gave this an A from Bleacher Report. I can't argue with that.
I can't argue with it.
Next, maybe the tag team match of the year already. And we're only in the beginning of fucking March.
Just a pure, just no frills, just straight up good tag team match. Like, fuck. It was amazing. I honestly don't have a whole lot to sell you on this match. If you didn't think this match was amazing, then I don't know what to fucking tell you. I mean, you can have your own opinion about false finishes all you want, but it was just so goddamn good. And then, you know, they gave it plenty of time. Like, it didn't feel rushed.
Oh, yeah.
And
the whole time you're wondering what's going to happen because of the storyline going in. And I'm like, I don't know, who's going to turn? Are the Bucks going to turn? Is Kenny going to turn? Is it going to be the uber-obvious Hangman turning? Yes. Or nobody, which is what ended up happening, even though Hangman still keeps it very,
very
ambiguous.
Yes, there you go.
Just good shit. The Bucks were getting booed. They were definitely working as heels, and the crowd is smart enough to know when they're supposed to boo and have them work as heels. And it just...
There was just levels to that. Like, I love when they were, like, when Hangman was attacking Matt's back, and they were just, you know, it was just callbacks to stuff, because we went to one of the matches Omega teamed with Ibushi, but me and David went to the other, where they faced the Young Bucks.
No, and I was at that. That was fighting Spirit Unleashed.
When you fighting Spirit Unleashed was the G.O.D. versus the Young Bucks.
Oh, then who did Cody and... Because Cody and...
Cody faced Juice Robinson.
Not Cody. Kenny was in a tag team match on that card.
Against Okada and Ishii.
That's right. That... No, it was the Cody match I fell asleep.
Yes.
I fell asleep.
Turn Juice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Cody's become a lot better in the ring since then. Or maybe he and Juice just didn't have a good...
I just don't think him and Juice had good chemistry.
Yeah, because
sometimes that happens.
Well, man. That was also like That was like hour two and a half,
yeah.
hour three. That was my first wrestling show. I drank a lot before we went in, so I didn't have to pay for anything.
There was that, too.
So, there was that. I'm going to shut that door all the way.
Yeah, of course. I got it.
Tell her, shush.
Guinevere, quiet. Get a jacket on.
Children are lovely.
Yeah, they are.
She's had a good week, though.
She did. She had a really good week, so I mean, gotta give her some leeway.
Exactly. By the way, still gotta say, those are the best belts in tag team wrestling.
God right now. Fucking damn it, aren't they?
Like, I mean, just... maybe a close runner-up is the NXT UK title belts.
Those are pretty. I would say Ring of Honor's tag titles are nice looking, too. They're not bad.
You know what I don't like, besides obviously the WWE one, I'm not a big fan of the six-man tag belts.
In Ring of Honor?
Yeah, not a big fan of
I'm not crazy about them, and I'll be honest.
I don't like the concept.
I also think the IWGP heavyweight titles, tag titles, need a repolish. They need a re-up. They just kind of look a meh.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, to try and go over what happens in this match would take all day.
Yeah.
It's one of those you need to go and watch it.
You really should. If you're just a fan of tag team wrestling, and you're a fan of either of these teams or the story they're telling, which, again, if you're not a fan of anything I just outlined for you, why the fuck are you watching wrestling, first off? Secondly, it's just goddamn amazing. I don't care if the Bucks go heel at this point. Like, I really like the story they're telling. I like the fact that I can't figure out the booking.
Yeah, I can't guess what's going to happen next. Just, I have no idea.
I mean, I'm waiting for the Hangman turn on Omega. I mean, it's going to be fucking glorious.
But at this point, they are pushing that narrative so much that I don't think it's going to happen. Either that, or they're pushing it to the point where we think it's so obvious that it's going to happen that it's not going to happen, that then it does happen.
Well, yeah, and I could see a Hangman and Kenny Omega like feud, and that would really elevate Hangman, especially in the eyes of a lot of fans, and be going one-on-one with Omega.
Look, Jake, it's you.
It's Jake.
Hold on. Jake, say hi to the podcast. It's been a minute.
Hello, podcast.
Jake's here, guys.
Jake is here.
It's raining.
It's been raining off and on here.
Yeah, it's been raining a little off and on here.
So, Jake, I got to ask, to break the fourth wall for a second, how is the video quality? Can you read any of this?
It's pixelated.
It's a little bit better when I...
Yeah, I can't. And you'd really have to look at it, and then you guys in the top right corner are very dark.
Very dark.
You see Paige, and it's really weird.
What about this?
See, no, I can see you guys fine there, but you're just dark. You're just like shadowed.
Yeah, we did that on purpose.
Yeah, because we were so bleached out. I'm sorry, everybody, that you're getting this. This shit live, but, you know, it's a work in progress.
Yep.
I just tried to lighten this up.
I mean, it's good. You know, maybe just some twerks on the lighting.
Yeah.
Excuse me, don't twerk.
well, I mean, we recorded, like, fucking five of these before we realized that Jason had a much better camera than the one built into my computer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, we'll go back to what we were saying. If any of this match sounds interesting to you, you definitely need to go and watch it. I mean, look at all this. All of this is what happened in the match. And we're not going to go over all that. But the A-plus grade, definitely. Paige and Omega retain. Paige even hits a one-winged angel.
Yeah, that was clean shit. I also just loved a lot of the storytelling. I got to say, that I can't emphasize that enough.
Kenny selling the shoulder.
Match. Yeah, there was just so many good things with Matt ripping off the shoulder tape and everything. There's just, it's like anybody that says the Bucks don't know how to do ring psychology, just shut the fuck up. All right?
Yeah, because fuck you, Jim.
I'm going to say that. You know, I wear like a badge of honor that Jim Cornette called me an idiot because fuck that guy.
You know, I don't know what I did to get blocked on my main, like, personal account by him. But the podcast account, I tweeted out, I feel like getting blocked by Jim Cornette tonight, and then posted a picture of a clown, and it said, basically, it was a meme calling Jim Cornette a clown.
Yeah.
So he blocked me. Which is funny because if he really wanted to fucking piss me off, he would have not blocked me for me asking for him to block me.
See, he hasn't blocked me yet. So he apparently I give atheists a bad name, and I'm like, so do you, dickface.
We at the IWC Nation podcast just want to take a moment to send a hearty, heartfelt, and really, like, sincere fuck you to Jim Cornette.
Just deep, like, fucking fisting.
Jim Cornette can go and shove a carrot up his ass.
Yes.
For all I care.
Yes.
Political views aren't terrible, though.
No, he's fine politically.
Yeah. All right, Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose. I gotta admit, didn't tune in entirely during this match.
It wasn't bad. It was a little sloppy at the end. But again, I don't know if that was either their fault. It might have just been positioning.
The outcome is what it needed to be.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I mean,
Statlander will be a star at some point, I think. She's good. She just needs to... She's green. You can tell she's
green. Here's the thing. Right now, Nyla Rose is maybe the most polarizing figure in wrestling. All of wrestling.
They need to crank up the heel on her.
Yes, and they need to fucking just pedal to the metal, lean into it, keep it going, piss everybody off because she's a trans woman holding the women's championship, and fucking because it gets people talking.
It does.
Any fucking way that you can get people talking and eyes on your promotion, it's good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people are defending her enough as it is, myself included.
Oh yeah, we at the IWC Nation completely and 100% support Nyla Rose.
Yeah, those of you who think she's like making the comments that she still has a dick, you're fucking all you do is embarrass yourself. So
also the people that it's not fair to the women competing in the
she's
division.
She's a woman.
She's a woman. Two, this is not a competition.
Pro wrestling.
I have to emphasize, as much as I love pro wrestling, I can admit that it is scripted acrobatic play fighting.
Yes.
All right? These women are not competing. They are fucking working together.
Plus, I bet you these are the same fuckheads who watch Impact and go, oh, Tessa Blanchard is champion, makes sense. No, it doesn't, because what's the point of the Knockouts title then? Like, I'm sorry, I just don't agree with her being world champion. I just don't.
I don't mind it, but that's an argument for another day. Yeah. As long as there's a means to an end there, it's not just her putting over or going over all the men in the fucking company.
No, one or two, okay, fine. And like I said, as long as it's kept to like a 3 or 4 month reign and she drops it back to Sammy, you won't hear me say shit.
And Sammy's the type of guy that you love to hate, so you're fine with him losing to just about anybody.
Yeah, and then but then him getting it back is the right move because he's just the heel and the champion. I'm sorry.
Well, Impact, heels are better champions.
He was a better champion. Like I don't know. And like I said, I think Tessa Blanchard got off because of all her bullshit. So, I think she got a pass. I don't know.
What do you think of the poop tape?
They
actually played it on the Jim Cornette drive-thru.
Yeah, that's where I heard it.
And that's one of the, most genuinely awesome segments on the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Because, when he's not just shitting on AEW, which is basically what his fan base tries to get him to do constantly.
All the time.
His fucking podcast is fun and interesting.
Well, if you listen to JR, everybody talk about him, he does have a decent mind for wrestling. Like, he does have the knowledge. He's not an idiot.
Oh, no.
I hate calling him
stupid. The guy's
stupid.
A legend.
Yeah, I hate calling him stupid because he's not stupid. But
he's
sometimes
just an old man set in his ways, yelling at the kids to stop doing backflips on his lawn.
Exactly. He's Clint Eastwood from fucking Gran Torino. That's what he is. Get off my lawn.
So anyway, Nyla wins the match. That's how it should be. Like we said, she should hold the belt for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, they do need to make the belt bigger.
At least for her.
Like, they need to have keep the small one just in case fucking Riho wins the belt back or someone her size wins the belt. But otherwise, they need to up the size of that belt to fit Nyla's, frame.
Right. Cody versus MJF.
Oof.
The build to this was fantastic.
Yes.
The match was good, although you could definitely see when MJF gigs himself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was probably his first
gig.
That was probably the first time he ever cut himself.
I think so, maybe.
They don't really do that so much on the indies.
But he also got to blame the cameraman for fucking not flipping the shot when they should have.
Right. Not all on MJF.
Yeah, no. But the match itself was good. I agree. I really enjoyed it. The build was phenomenal, and it's clearly not the end of the feud, so hey, good.
It's time to talk real quick, though, before we get into all that, about the controversy that has come out of this match.
What controversy?
And that is Cody's new neck tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Good God, I have never seen so many people shit on somebody's tattoo so fucking unfairly.
It's not a horrible tattoo.
Jake, Mom, you're a tattoo gentleman. Do you have any problem with this tattoo?
I've seen significantly worse tattoos.
Is it up yet?
No, it's circling. Hold on. I'm like 10 seconds behind you guys. Is that the Transformer symbol?
It's his own logo. It's like a
skull.
It's a skull with some wings behind it. It's his American Nightmare family like logo. And people
have a problem with it. I've seen a hell of a lot worse.
Exactly. See, thank you.
People are shitting on the quality. People are shitting on the placement.
Well, the quality's fine. First off,
it's kind of blurry on my end. Let me look it up.
It's not hard. AEW Cody's
just,
neck tattoo.
Just all you gotta type in is Cody's neck tattoo.
Yeah, it'll come right up. I think it's fine. Would I personally do that as my first tattoo? No.
It's not his first.
Oh, that's right, it's not.
He's got but Dream on his chest.
I just think it would have made more sense on his back, maybe. But you know what, if he wanted those, it's his fucking body, man. And it doesn't look horrible. I just don't. I don't.
No, I like how it looks.
And if he gets something on the other side, it'll look a lot better. It won't. It'll detract not nearly as much. The reason people are giving him shit is because he doesn't have anything else near it. It just bam. Well,
then wrestling fans are shit.
Yeah, a lot of wrestling fans who have access to Twitter should not have access to Twitter, but they do. So
you know, I agree with you guys. It's simplistic. It's not really, you know, super detailed, and there's nothing around it. But it's not, like, bad work.
No.
But like you said, if you put something around it, maybe, to kind of fill it in a little bit.
Or maybe, like, on the opposite, like, if he did something on the opposite side of the neck, so he had one on, something on each, like,
but
then.
There's very minimal shading on the skull. It just looks like a very, how would I put it? Not a new tattooist, but a very simplistic skull, a very beginner skull. With good coloring. I think the colors are great.
Yeah, the coloring does look good to me. It did stick out.
Let me see if I can find some. Brian Pillman had a great take on the tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Pillman did. I saw that tweet. Brian Pillman Jr. is awesome anyways.
I mean, he is. We at the IWC Nation love Brian Pillman Jr. and his dad.
Oh, yeah. I love Loose Cannon. So amazing. Flying Brian.
Those, feathers coming out of the side?
Yeah, it's like wings.
It's like wings kind of thing, yeah.
Let's see, hold on.
Definitely seen worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not, and that's what, like, is so ridiculous about the whole thing, is people going crazy about a stinking tattoo that, like, is not that bad. Didn't Amber Rose just get, like, something tattooed on her fucking forehead?
Know about that.
Oh, dude, look it up. Like, there's, I think she did. But anyways, like, there's people getting worse tattoos out there and more pointless tattoos, as Matt is going to demonstrate eventually when he finds the tweet. As Pillman said, you know, it just make, Pillman lays it out very eloquently and simplistically as to why the tattoo makes sense, and I couldn't have agreed more. And
God, Pillman, you
fucking tweets a lot, doesn't he?
You tweet a lot, Brian.
He does. He tweets a lot.
You tweet a lot.
It's hard to keep up with him sometimes.
But. Okay. Brian Pillman Jr. says, it's simple. He's wearing it on his neck, so it's always visible. Can't be covered up easily. It's symbolic of him going all in on his brand and his company and not having a backup plan. It means he's literally got his neck on the line for AEW and his family.
Skin in the game.
I love it.
I love it too.
I take big fucking... I have a problem with people shitting on other people's tattoos when it's...
Especially if you can tell it's deeply personal.
If it's terrible fucking work, that's one thing.
Yes.
But if it's not bad work, fuck you for... I don't want anybody fucking shitting on anybody's choice of tattoo placement.
You're being an obnoxious twat. It's not your
fucking body.
Yeah.
And this is, like, this has been the biggest fucking thing to come out of this fantastic pay-per-view. This is what people are talking about the most. It's stupid.
Yeah, I really wish people were not... would just get a fucking life to that degree. And it's his goddamn body. And honestly, like I said, it's not that bad. I don't mind it. I think the coloring... Honestly, like I said, I love the coloring. If anything, I love the coloring of it. But you'll fuck America.
America!
I mean, and like I said, the match is really good. They told a great story. I love when MJF bites his fucking foot. Like, it's those little things that MJF does that are just so fucking, like, you... I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. And I was like, yes!
For those of you who don't know, Cody had a match with Wardlow 2 weeks ago where he did a fucking backflip off of the fucking cage.
Yep. Like a maniac.
He broke his toe.
Yes.
So that's why MJF is biting his toe and stepping on his toe the whole match, and it's fucking...
It's just good heel storytelling, little things, man, that MJF does so well that I just... God, man, and he's so young, like you pointed out, that he's only going to get better, people. He's only going to get better. And I love when he fucking... Like, I saw a fan post something about how he had him... He posted with MJF, and then MJF signed on his glasses, "Eat shit." I was like, right. That's fucking amazing.
So, they have MJF go over, which I think makes sense. That's what we both predicted.
Yes.
Cody, I thought, could have got more offense in.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could have beat him within an inch of his fucking life.
He didn't come out as hot out the gate as I feel like he should have.
Yeah.
But
I could see what you're... I could agree with you on that one. But maybe they're just, like you said, slow burn on the feud, and they're really going to kick it in. MJF's going to do some bastardly shit here in the next couple weeks. I mean, they're going to be leading to the war games, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But then again, he may not have anything to do with that, because that's probably going to be Inner Circle versus Elite. So, I mean, that's my guess anyways. But yeah, I really liked the match. I thought it was good.
All right.
Oh.
Here's the show stealer.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The fucking show stealer. For all the people that shit on Orange Cassidy, I hope most of you saw the light on Saturday.
I hope you heard that crowd.
The crowd fucking loves the guy. They were
on, like...
He's over.
He's so goddamn over. If you hate Orange Cassidy, it's because you hate how over he is. And that's fine. Just keep hating, because the guy is going to keep getting more over and more over and more over.
I just want to say I put that in that little fucking paper bag across the room.
That's pretty good. Pound it. That's
good. All right. So the match starts, and Pac's kind of playing along with Orange Cassidy's kicks and such.
Great stuff. I loved it.
And then... it's interesting the way Cassidy works, because he takes a ton of damage and then all of a sudden he just, like, once he gets a piece of offense in, it's just boom, 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 boom. So fucking fast paced. He goes from the King of Sloth style to moving at 1,000 miles an hour.
Fucking cruiserweight. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I've heard some people make the argument that, well, it's because Pac made him look great. No, they made each other look great.
I was going to say, there was... If you know anything about wrestling, those two put... Yes, Pac definitely made him look like $1 million, but at the same time, Orange Cassidy made himself look like $1 million.
The part where he rolls out of the ring as Pac's going up, and then Pac goes out and puts him back in the ring and starts to climb up again, and he rolls to the other side, so Pac walks around, and then Cassidy smiles at him. Oh my god, I lost it. Yeah. I fucking lost it.
I didn't like the ending where you had the Lucha Brothers take just randomly come in and take.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're building a feud with the best friends and the Lucha Brothers. It was just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, I would have preferred. It did definitely get kind of distracted a little bit. But, you know, that's I feel like I'm nitpicking at that point.
Yeah, but it also found a way for Pac to beat Cassidy where it wasn't entirely clean.
Yeah, and it, like I said, it adds to the bastard persona. And I love it. And Pac is just fucking phenomenal. That guy's going to win the AEW title at some point. I honestly, if anybody's going to beat Moxley, I wouldn't be shocked if it's him.
I love that his like... Flippy Stunner is called the Stun Dog Millionaire.
Oh yeah, that's great shit.
An A for this match. I would give it an A plus.
Yeah, it was next to the tag team match. It was my I can't like pick one or the other because they both were just I loved every second of both matches so
this
much.
This right here, yes, Pac is excellent and Cassidy is uber over, but the story they told had the fans hanging on every spot in a way they did not. For Cody versus MJF just minutes prior. The underdog story of the charismatic slacker captivated them, and Pac's willingness to sell for Cassidy made the match that much better.
Exactly. Exactly. That was fucking wrestling.
It was beautiful. Like, it just... I could have had... The rest of the matches could have been average, and we had that match on the pay-per-view, and I still would have felt that was worth all my money.
And then we had this.
Oh.
Jon Moxley, Chris Jericho, AEW World Championship match.
It was good. It was better than their work in WWE. And I enjoyed it. And, we did pick Jericho to win, but that's just because I wasn't sure that they were going to pull the trigger on Moxley just yet.
I was fine no matter which way they went.
Me too. That's where I was going to go. Like
Jericho doesn't need the title to be the dastardly heel.
He doesn't.
Not that he's not going to win it back before his time is done in AEW.
I could see him going on one more title run, yeah.
Who knows, man? I mean...
Yeah.
Chris Jericho can do what he wants. He's Chris Jericho.
Exactly.
So, Mox... What can you say? He got busted open during the match, and you couldn't tell at the time if he was bleeding from the eye patch, from under the eye patch. You couldn't really tell where the blood was coming from.
Yeah.
And then the fake out where he pulls off the fucking eye patch. Just fantastic. Jericho's face.
Jericho's great. And there's just a lot of little good things that show both these guys are professionals, and they're so good at what they do, both of them. I mean, I could watch them main event again at Double or Nothing. I'd be fine with it, frankly.
Oh yeah, I would be totally fine. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about this match.
This is just really good, and I'm really happy for Moxley. And those of you who are fucking dick riding right now and getting upset that Moxley said this winning the title this time would mean more to him than the WWE title run, you clearly don't remember him winning the title and his title reign.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a cash-in.
It was a cash-in.
And it was...
Roman got hurt.
Yeah, it was an audible.
Yes. So, yeah. And then, like I said, they didn't book it very well, and then, you know, it just didn't... But they've never booked him very well as a singles guy anyways throughout his entire run, in my opinion. And they always had, especially the last year, they haven't done bullshit. So, I could totally understand why he feels this way. And like I said, I've also said, I think the AEW title next to the IWGP heavyweight title is the most gorgeous belt in wrestling. It's fucking beautiful.
It's a beautiful belt. I saw some people shitting on Moxley's...
Moxley's promo after winning the belt.
What?
And it's like, dude, that was the happiest I've ever heard that guy.
I was going to say, like, that was the most genuine shit I think I've ever seen from somebody after they win the title. And if anything, it made me love him more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Moxley's... I was not a Dean Ambrose fan. I love Jon Moxley.
Same. I was not really...
And for people saying it's the same character, it's the same guy, it's not.
Not even close.
Dean Ambrose is a watered down version of Jon Moxley.
Yes. Moxley's like, just like ultra-violent. Like, I love the fucking just unscripted violence thing he's got going. It's just fucking perfect. He's a and those of you making the Stone Cold slight comparisons, okay, yes, there's, I get how you could see some slight Stone Cold, like, outlaw woven in there, but otherwise, he's completely different. He's on a whole nother level, and not to mention Stone Cold just outsold everybody.
We just, I don't think we need to do this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I see people comparing Hangman Page to Stone Cold.
Why?
Because they're from Texas and they wear black trunks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's just like how every Hispanic star that comes along is the next Eddie Guerrero.
I mean, certain things in wrestling, I don't mind being, like you said, I don't mind being recycled or updated. But like things like Stone Cold, they just don't need to be.
Like, Stone Cold was Stone Cold and that's all you need.
Exactly. So, and you know, let's just enjoy Moxley and what he's putting out because, frankly, it's great. And he's also the IWGP United States Champion, too, I might add. So, he's doing pretty well.
He's Johnny Two Belts.
I do like Tony Khan at the post thing talking about NJPW and saying how, you know, hey, give me a call.
I think they're already behind the scenes working together.
Yeah, I think they're setting up some a faction, a company versus company thing. They're just ironing everything out. We'll see, though.
All right, let's see. Yeah, fuck this.
What?
Let's see if I've got any anything in the old Billy category before we close it out.
I was gonna say we are at about 47 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's the video though. We started.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
We're at 41. That's not bad.
That's not too bad now. No, and I'll give the match a minus, B plus, somewhere in there. I mean, it was good. I really liked it. And I'm glad Moxley's champ. And it's gonna be fun to see where they go. And it really makes me wonder what the main event will be for Double or Nothing. So. Because I think Double or Nothing is going to be like, I know they want like Revolution. Cody made a comment about Revolution being their big show, and you know, maybe it will be. But I just feel like Double or Nothing like is going to be it's their SummerSlam maybe, I guess.
All right. So.
All right.
Jake, shut up about my duct tape.
Yeah.
Billy, talking about Jon Moxley, says he isn't even one of the top five guys in the NAW. He is weak on the mic and average in the ring. This makes Goldberg beating The Fiend almost okay now. Moxley, Ambrose, whatever his name is, still ain't a top guy to hold the belt.
Oh my god.
Do you want to guess the age group of this, Billy?
16?
No, probably about 45, 50.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's even worse.
Billy says, is the pay-per-view, and he put paper like a sheet of paper. He says, is it pay-per-view or pay-per-view? I'm lost and confused.
Oh, you're more than lost and confused, Billy.
This is a fucking thing.
What a stupid question. just shit on.
All right, Billy's got a hot take hot for you.
Hot take. He's got four fucking flame emojis to let us know.
By the way, yeah, there's some people online that seem to think that
winning an argument is directly connected to how many laughing till you're crying emojis are in the argument.
Yeah.
It's not, that's not.
That's not how
conversations work. You don't win the argument just because you're laughing in every fucking thing you say.
Or you think you made a point that's somewhat kind of relatively relevant, but not relevant. So, yeah, no, you don't.
All right. His hot take is, wasn't AEW supposed to be the alternative? Yet now their champion again is a former WWE guy. I thought MJF, Pac, Hangman, Omega, hell, even Orange Cassidy were supposed to be the ones to show the indie darlings were better than WWE guys. Looks and feels looks and feels like a bit of a certain show we used to know that put top WWE guys over. And he's got a Monday Nitro gif.
And he's got.
Also, he doesn't seem to know that Pac wrestled for WWE.
Oh, boy.
Actually, or Jericho. Or even Cody. Or a couple other guys that the belt was on. Then you would be complaining about AEW putting their belt on a nobody.
Yep.
People like you are never going to be fucking happy.
You also don't clearly understand the business and how you need to build prestige and relevance. And how do you do that with a brand new title? You put it on someone like fucking Jericho. And then you have him drop it to maybe someone like Moxley, who's not on Jericho's level in terms of name recognition and just brand and everything. But he's getting there. And he's hot right now. So, it makes a lot of sense, and I don't understand people like that that just complain, like you said. They're never going to be satisfied, and they're going to always find something to bitch about. I mean, I even myself, I try not to go out of my way to complain these days, except for when WWE does something mentally fucking handicapped like they did at Super Showdown.
Right. This is just literally in the same vein. It says, a WWE guy just passed the title to another WWE guy, laughing my ass off. Jericho should have never had it to begin with. He says being with, but... No. You. This is an upstart company. You want to put that belt on the most recognizable name so that fucking... When you're telling some random... that used to watch wrestling back in the day that Chris Jericho's the champion, now they're like, oh, somebody I know.
Not to mention, anybody who hasn't heard Tony Khan talk about wrestling, you should go look up some of the interviews he's done where he's talked about wrestling. The dude's a fucking encyclopedia. He's like Conrad he's like Conrad level, if not more. Like, he's just crazy, the obscure shit he seems to know about wrestling.
Right.
Again... He's running a few businesses. He's a son of a billionaire, so he's clearly...
He runs the Jaguars.
Yeah. He's not an idiot. Well,
he's the guy that runs the day-to-day operations of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. I mean... Just because the team sucks, that's not entirely all him.
No. Gardner Minshew.
Anyway. Yeah, they decided they're taking him moving forward.
Billy says, whoever said that Revolution would not be televised was dead wrong, homie. Who told you it wouldn't be? It's on paper.
All right, Billy. Jesus Christ, they literally, when they announced it, said on pay-per-view. I mean, how the fuck did you miss that? Jesus Christ.
Okay. Jason, you got anything else you want to add?
Just a little piggyback on the super shit show Blood Money 16. Fucking.
Yeah, you know, we didn't even really. We haven't been on the podcast since then.
Well, what is there to add? It's a fucking. It was a shit show.
I mean, okay, first of all, Black History Month and the African Americans on Super Showdown went 0 for 6.
Oof. But that doesn't mean anything. Look at WWE's history with black wrestlers and tell me that doesn't fucking mean anything. Okay.
Ricochet got literally no offense in.
Yeah.
Undertaker came out unannounced for the gauntlet match. Mm-hmm.
for the super prestigious trophy, which apparently Michael Cole said the word prestigious about 47 times during that match.
The clips, a couple of clips I saw, it was way too fucking many, I'll tell you that much. And it felt like a giant propaganda thing for Saudi Arabia, and it was fucking disgusting. Oh, yeah,
well, Mansoor beat fucking Dolph Ziggler and then started took the mic and started talking about how great and progressive the country of Saudi Arabia is. It's fucking...
It was disgusting.
Undertaker, though, comes out in this fucking match at the end and just, I mean, he choke slams and pins AJ Styles without even taking off his hat or jacket. And then, Goldberg beats The Fiend with the worst fucking jackhammer you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, it was completely like...
It wasn't garbage. Even a jackhammer. It was a fucking suplex. It was a suplex. Yeah. It was a fucking bona fide suplex.
It was fucking awful, man.
And here's the thing. Seth Rollins literally threw an entire hardware store on top of The Fiend.
Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, I guess I should have grabbed a jackhammer. That's pretty good.
Dude, there was a few like WWE wrestlers that I tweeted out stuff that was like just taking a complete shot at it.
So Goldberg, at 53 years old and having wrestled 7 matches in the last 5 years, which is a thing, I saw a lot of WWE fanboys saying, oh, but Jericho's your champion, you don't have a problem with that? Jericho is 49, Goldberg is 53. Goldberg has wrestled 7 matches in the last 5 years, Jericho has wrestled 171.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fucking difference.
For multiple companies.
3 different companies, to be exact.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, right. 3 different companies.
There's no fucking comparison.
Not even close.
Jericho is not a fucking part-timer.
I could probably put 3 to 5 of... I could put 5 of Jericho's matches in the last 7 years up against 5 of Goldberg's matches, period. And it's not even close.
Listen. I was a huge Goldberg mark as a kid. Had a shirt, was one of my favorite wrestling figures, but I can say without a doubt, looking back, Goldberg was, and always will be, overrated as fuck.
And one of the worst wrestlers.
He ended fucking Bret Hart's career.
Yeah, I mean...
He kicked him right in the face.
Didn't even pull the kick, you can see it, just straight up fucking drills him. I've seen the match like 2 or 3 times, it's... I mean, sometimes I do think Bret Hart comes off a little too bitter sometimes, but at the same time, sometimes I think he has a right to be. Because, man, they have, like, tried to fuck him every way they can. It's just a mess. But at the same time, you know, like, I'm on the same line where, you know, I understand why they took the belt off him at Survivor Series. I mean, it's business. So, but that's a whole nother story.
You don't talk about a mess. SmackDown comes around. John Cena comes out and lays beautiful promo about how, you know, they're building talent and WrestleMania doesn't need John Cena this year because other people need the opportunity and he's not going to have a match. And then The Fiend comes out and points at the WrestleMania sign and John Cena goes, okay.
Okay. Nods my hat.
Just forget everything I just said in this fucking wonderful promo. We'll have the match. So now we get Roman Reigns versus...
Goldberg. Oh, yeah. And fuck the men's chamber, by the way.
That's going to... Oh, well, now it's a tag team chamber match.
Yeah, I know, but just...
So, Sheamus announcing last week that he was going to be in the match.
Poof!
Throw that out the fucking window.
Fuck that shit. We need to get Roman cheered at Mania when he wins a title. We need it. That's what's got to happen, Matt. It has to happen.
I don't care about Goldberg and fucking Roman Reigns. It's going to be a fucking...
Zero fucks given.
It's going to be a 3 to 4 minute match.
I was okay with Goldberg and Lesnar at Mania because of what they did at Survivor Series and the little build they did that was fine. And the match literally was like 6 minutes long. So it was fine. But this is not that. And not to mention, there's not a history with Roman and Goldberg. Like... Nobody gives a fuck. It's like when they have me and Christopher, we went to No Mercy. They just had Roman beat John Cena clean. Like everybody's like, boo. And like people shit on it. And it's like you're not gonna get the desired result because the fans didn't fucking want this match.
I mean, yes, they should have never put the belt on the Fiend in the first place. But they booked themselves into a corner. And, yeah, I'm not, like, just don't put the belt back on him. Like, have him fucking go on a tear and beat Cena at Mania. And don't keep him away from the fucking title. Because WWE, you're at the tipping point with the Fiend right now where the character could be potentially permanently fucking ruined. Because of your bullshit book. And what's even more annoying is goddamn Wyatt was... It's just the second time they've fucking done this shit.
Yeah, they like to build up Bray Wyatt just to knock him down. That's the thing. Anyway, that's the state of WWE at the moment. And that's where we're gonna go ahead and end it today.
Yeah.
So anyway, in an overview, AEW Revolution is an A pay-per-view.
Yep, worth every penny. You know,
watch it again.
Yep. I would even recommend if you haven't seen it yet and you're just watching clips, just go spend the money, watch it. It's worth it. You're gonna. Can't recall. There hasn't been a bad AEW pay per view yet in terms of has it been worth the money. But this one definitely, I think, was the best one, just from start to finish, pacing every match. You know, I like that I couldn't pinpoint some of the booking. You know, the storytelling in the matches that were. It was just great.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, guys, follow us on Twitter at IWC_Nation, at Sprinkle of Ginger. Oh, no, at The Ginger Proxy. Yes. Excuse me.
Sprinkle of Ginger is the name.
Like and subscribe on whatever platform you happen to listen to us on. If you'd like to support the podcast like Jake Mom, you can do that through Anchor. And you can also Cash App, $IWC Nation. And, yeah. So, yeah. For Jason, for Jake Mom, I bid you a fond adieu.
Adieu.
Adieu.